Daf Ayin Amud Aleph. We got up to Rabbi Meir, which is almost parallel to Tosus L'Shiur, about two-thirds down the Amud. The Gemara now comes back to deal with the question of Of Shenitraf, the machlokas between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, whether in the case of an Of Trefa, the Shechita at least is capable of being Metayr Bidei Tumas Nevel Tumas Beis Ablia. And this we saw back on Samach Tes Amid Beis. Rabbi Yehuda holds that Of Shenitrefa, the Shechita is not capable of removing Tumas Beis Ablia, and therefore the Of Shenitrefa is Metami Beis Ablia. The Gemara clarified that according to the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, he derives this from the pasuk in Vayikra Yudzayin, V'chol nefesh asher tochal nevela utrefa v'chibes b'gadav v'rachatz b'mayim v'tomeyad arev v'taher. From this pasuk, Rabbi Yehuda derives the din of Tumas Beis Habliya in Of. And when the Torah says utrefa, it's coming to include trefa, that even in the case of a trefa that was nishchita, that was shechted, nevertheless the trefa is metames bebeis habliya. And at this point the Gemara wants to know Rabbi Meir, what does he do with the word trefa? He holds that if you have an oaf trefa, then the Shechita is Metayr Midei Tumas Beis Habliya. And he derived this from a pasuk in Vayikra Yud Aleph, Zos Torah HaBehema Ve'Of, as the Gemara explained back on Samach Tes Amid Beis. What is he going to do now with the pasuk in Vayikra Yud Zayin of Trefa? Hi Trefa, my Ovidle. In other words, the word Trefa here is superfluous, and the question is, what are we going to do with the word trefa according to Rabbi Meir? Why did the Torah add the word trefa? And we don't have the luxury of interpreting the trefa the way Rabbi Yehuda did, to tell you that even in the case of no trefa, the shechita is not mitar midei Tumas Beis Habliya. Rabbi Meir holds that in the case of Of Trefa, the Shechita does remove the Tumas Beis Habliya. So what are we going to do with the word Trefa? And you may remember that we had a Machlokas where the Trefa is Chaya or Mesa. And once again, we could apply the Kal V'Chomer. In any event, it's covered under Nevela. If Trefa is Chaya, then with its death, it becomes a nevela. If on the other hand, a trefa ain't a chaya, then it's already included in the nevela. So why do we need the extra pasuk trefa? So Gemara answers me, boile. Rabbi Meir needs the pasuk trefa again in Vayikra Yud Zayin to teach us lemute shchita shehi lifnim, which means that if he took an oaf and he brought it into the Azara and he shechted it, then it's not mitame bebeis habliya. And this we saw early on Daf Samach Tes Amud Aleph in the Braisa. We had a lot of different details about that. The maskana of the sugya there was that we're talking about an oaf chulin that was shechted into an Azara. Again, we had another possibility of an Of Kodshim that was shechted in the Azor instead of Malika. But in any event, the Shechita in the Azorah, in this case of an Of, is Metayr Midei Tumas Beis Habliya, and that we derive from this extra word of Trefa. So the Gemara now wants to understand, what does Rabbi Yehuda do with this limud? Or shall we say, where does Rabbi Yehuda derive the halach that Of Shenishchat Bifnim is not mitame Now, just to review for a second what we saw in Samachtes, Omid Aleph, there was a Havamina that since the Torah does not require or recognize Shechita of an Ov Shel Chulin inside the Azara, therefore, as a result of the Shechita, the Ov is called Nevela. And a Nevela is Metame Tumas Beis HaBliya. The word Trefa comes to address the case in which the Ov was shechted inside the Azara, and Shechitas HaOv is Metayer Midei Tumas Beis HaBliya, both in the case of a regular Ov, a healthy Ov, and in the case of an Ov Trefa, even though the Shechita itself is not Matir, the Achil of a Trefa, but nevertheless, Rabbi Meir Shita is that we have an equation between Bachutz and Bafnim. And that tells you that since Shechita of a regular bird, a healthy bird, is Matir Midei Nevela, then even in the case of Shechita of a Trefa, it's Matir Midei Nevela. And once we have this equation, we're going to go one step further and say that the Shechita of an Ov inside the Azara would also be Matir Midei Nevela, or else you would have the following situation. You would have a situation where Shechita inside would be different than Shechita outside. We've already established that Shechita outside the Azara is Matir Midei Nevela, even if the bird was a Trefa, according to Rabbi Meir. And that's because we have this equation, and now we're going to apply this equation extended to the case of Shechita inside the Azara, and all this is fine for Rabbi Meir. And Shechita, therefore, in an Ov, even Bifnim, although the Shechita is now meaningless because the Torah requires Malika, but at least the Shechita is recognized and validated to be Matir Midei Tumas Beis HaBliya. But let's go back to Rabbi Yehuda now. In the case of Rabbi Yehuda, how does he know that an Ov that was shechted inside the Azara is not Matame Tumas Beis HaBliya? And what we're talking about is the following. Rabbi Yehuda says that Shechita could not be Matir an Ov of its Tumah, but he agrees that in the case of a non-Trefa, a healthy bird, the Shechita would be Matir Midei Nevela, even if the Shechita is improper. Even if it was an Ov of Chulin that was shechted inside the Azara. So the question now is, so again, keep in mind, there's a fundamental difference now between, according to Rabbi Yehuda, between an Ov that's Trefa, where we're saying that the Shechita is not Metayer, as opposed to a healthy bird, in the case of Shechita that's improper inside the Azara, where there the Shechita, even according to Rabbi Yehuda, is Matir Midei Tumas Beis HaBliya. So the Gemara says that if, according to Rabbi Yehuda, we need the word Trefa to include an Ov Trefa in the parish of Tumas Beis HaBliya, that even after the Shechita, since the Shechita cannot be Matir, the Ov Trefa, it cannot be Matir Midei Nevela, how does he know to exclude the case of an Ov that was shechted in the Azara and establish that in such a case it's not Mitame the Beis HaBliya and the Shechita itself is Mafkia the Tumas Beis HaBliya? So the Gemara answers Trefa Achrina Ksiv. There's another Pasuk Trefa. If we only had one Pasuk Trefa, we would need that to establish Tumah in the case of a Shechitas Ov Trefa. But now that we have another Tumah, we could be memayit the case of an oaf shel chulin, a healthy oaf that was shechted in the Azara, because the Torah repeats the word treifa elsewhere. We started with the word treifa in Vayikra Yud Zayin, but now we're looking at treifa in Vayikra Chaf Beis, and the pasuk says nevela utreifa lo yochal litoma ba ani Hashem. And the word treifa here is coming to exclude the case of an oaf that was shechted inside the Azara from Tumas Beis Habliya. The Gemara now wants to clarify, what does Rabbi Meir do with the second treifa? Rabbi Meir, who learns from the first treifa, that in the case of a shechitas oaf bifnim, it's not mitame tumas beis habliya, even though it was chulin bazara and the shechita is improper. But what does he do now with the second treifa? He can't use it the way Rabbi Yehuda uses it to derive the conclusion of an oaf shenishkat bazara that it's not mitame beis habliya. So the Gemara answers, chad limeute shechita shehi lifnim. So again, one treifa, as we said before, is coming to tell me that even though he had no right, there was no permission for him to shecht an oaf shel chulin in the Azara, nevertheless, the shechita is meaningful to be mitayr midei tumas beis habliya. But he needs a second treifa of echad lemeute oaf tame, which means that the tumas nevela in the case of an oaf, which is metami v'beis habliya, only applies to an oaf tahar, because yesh b'mino isa treifa, it belongs to a category where there is an isa treifa, that's called an oaf tahar. But ein eno heges b'oaf tame, to exclude the case of an oaf tame, where ein b'mino isa treifa, an oaf tame doesn't lend itself to the isa treifa because it's tummy in any event. It's a non-kosher bird, so treifa doesn't add anything. And in such a case, the Torah is excluding the oaf tummy from tumas nevela. And that's the tumah beis habliya. Even though, again, in the case of an oaf tahar, there will be tumas beis habliya. I would apply even if the oaf died without shechita. Now, this drasha that lemute of tame, because the pasuk says nevelu treifa, and there's no isa treifa in the case of an oaf tame, meaning treifa is an irrelevant concept. Ein b'mino isa treifa. We had a similar svara in the other direction. Namely, in the Gemara Daf Samach Tesam Beis regarding Chalev Treifa, which we said that the Chalev of Treifa is Tahar, but we came to exclude the Treifa of a Behemet Meya, because Behemet Meya is Ein Bemina Treifa, and therefore it was Tame. Here we're saying in the opposite direction that it becomes Tahar, but it's the same basic Svara. So now the Gemara addresses the Shita of Rabbi Yehuda. And the Gemara says, Rabbi Yehuda, where does he derive that the nevela of an oaf tame is not metame bebeis habliya? Because Rabbi Yehuda actually has two treifas. He has a drasha from the fact that Torah repeats treifa, and he's going to use one drasha, one ribui for an oaf treifa. Then an oaf treifa, if it was shechted, it's metame bebeis habliya. And the second treifa is coming to exclude the case of shechitas oaf chulin in the Azor. If he shechted in the Azor, it's not metame tumas basically. But from whence does he derive this miut of oaf tame that's excluded from Tumas Beis Habliya? And the Gemara answers, Rabbi Yehuda mi nevela, meaning from the goof, from the pasuk itself, of nevela, meaning it says nevela utrefa lo yochal litamaba. Nafkale, he derives this conclusion. The Torah didn't have to say that nevela is metame betumas achila with a beis habliya, because we already learned that din from tumas beis habliya in the case of of tar, from the pasuk called nefesh shetochal nevela utrefa. And from that, Rabbi Yehuda derived that din, as we saw in the Braisa back on Samach Tes Amid Beis, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Yochol Tehei, Nevelas of Tame Metame, Begodim, Abes Abliya, Talmud Lomar, Nevelu Trefalo Yochal, Mishi Surim Mishum Bal Tochal Nevela, Yotza Zeshe Eini Surim Mishum, Bal Tochal Nevela, El Mishum, Bal Tochal Tame. So therefore, the din of Tumas Beis Habliya in the case of an Oftar, that's already well resourced. And therefore, the question is, to us, how does Rabbi Yehuda derive the halacha that Oftar is not Metame Beis Habliya? And the answer is that he derives from the word Nevela. And that's what we explained before, again, that the extra word nevela is coming to teach us that you don't say the argument that nevela sof tome is metame bebeis habliya, but rather the tumas beis habliya is limited to the case of something that's usur because of nevela, as opposed to an of tome, which is usur regardless of nevela. Now the Gemara wants to clarify, what does Rabbi Meir derive from the second pasuk of Nevelas of Tar? For Rabbi Meir, who uses our pasuk here to exclude of Tame, that of Tame is not Metame Beis Habliya, and that he derives from the word Trefa, is Hai Nevela, what about the pasuk Nevela? It says Nevelu Trefa Lo Yochal Litama Ba. And there we said that there's an extra word here of Nevela. Just one second. I just wanted to go back to something that we saw before. Here's the pasuk. Kol Nefesh Asher Tochal Nevela Utrefa. And here's the extra word. The Torah didn't have to mention Nevela as far as Tumas Achila. So my Ovid Lo, what does he do with the word Nevela? And the Gemara answers that this pasuk is coming to teach us Shir Achila Bekezayis. That when we say that this Tumas Beis Habliya in Achila, how much of an Achila do you need in order to generate a Tumas Beis Habliya? The Torah says Lo Yochal Nevela Litama Ba. And since the Torah mentions Achila, the Shir of Achila Umetum, all over the Torah, is always going to be a Kezayis. So just like the Shir of Kezayis is the minimum for the violation of Lo Yochal Nevela, the beginning of the pasuk, as far as the Yisra Achila is concerned, Machalas Asuz B'Kezayis, so to the end of the pasuk, L'tama Ba, that Tumas Beis Habliya also requires a minimum of a Kezayis. Let's just review this last Gemara. The Gemara wanted to know that since Rabbi Meir had already derived the exclusion of an of tame based on the word trefa, so what does we do with the superfluous word nevela in the pasuk Vayikach of Beis pasuk Ches? And the Gemara answers l'shir achilas achila bekezayis, that in order to generate Tumas Beis Habliya, you need an Achila. An Achila is always going to be a minimum of Kezayis, because in the pasuk itself, it says Achila. Now the Gemara asks, do we really need an extra pasuk to derive this din v'tepaklei mikra kama? Let's go back to the first pasuk that says v'chol nefesh asher tochal nevela utrefa mina afke rachmana b'loshen achila. The Torah here says lo sochal, and that itself should teach me that the achila that sets up tuma is a minimum of a kezias, and therefore, since I have that pasuk of kol nefesh asher tochal nevela, I don't need the pasuk nevelu trefa lo yochal l'tamaba. I already know the shir v'achila of kol tarkul is kezias, so the Gemara answers, I need two psukim. Why? Chad l'shiur ha'achila. What's the minimum value of volume of achila that is mitame beis abliyatz kezayis? V'chad l'shiur achila kidei achilas pras. We need another halacha of regarding achila, and that's the requirement of a certain period of time within which he eats that kezayis, and that's the time it would take to eat half of a kikar of lechem. Now exactly what the size of a kikar of lechem is, that's a matter of machlokes in Erev and Pei Beis, whether it's the nefach of shisha beitzim, and therefore maktsiso would be sholosh beitzim, or the nefach of shmona beitzim, machtziso would be arba beitzim. And even la'alocha, the Rishonim are debating this issue. The Rambam Machal Sus Parak Yudalet holds like the first daya, and that's shalosh beitzim. According to Rashi, we accept the second daya, and that's four beitzim. And this machlok is brought down in Shulchan Aruch, or Achaim Siman Tafresh Yud Beis. And the Mishnah Berurah says that the principle is lahachmir bishel Torah ulahakil bishel divrayim. Now, exactly how long of a time period is this to eat the three or four beitzim? Says the Chasam Sofer in a tshuva, it's 9 minutes. But there are other rayas that it is at least a minimum of 2 minutes. But it doesn't necessarily mean that it's a 9 minute period of time. That's much, much longer. Again, there are other different dayas in terms of what is the shear of kidei achilas pras. But what we're saying here, we're deriving from an extra pasuk here that the achil is not metame unless he ate the kezais within this short period of time that it takes to eat a half a kikar of lechem. So just like you're not chayv in achila unless you eat a kezayis b'chtei achilas pras, so too the nevela of an oftar is not mitame b'beis abli unless he ate that kezayis in a period of time, within a period of time of kidei achilas pras. And basically what we're saying is that this shir of zman for the achila to derive it requires a special pasuk. We can't derive from the first pasuk itself, which establishes the shear of kezayis as far as tuma. Salkedait chamina hoel v'chidushu. Since this din of tuma basically is a chidush, we don't find anywhere in the Torah this tuma or anything like this tuma. That it's ena mitames mibachutz ela bebeis habliya, that the tumah is generated by something that's inside the body, and that's a real chumrah of this tumah, makes it a real tumah chamura, is then I might think that it's so chomer that afilu, even if it's yosemich de achilus pras, nami mitame. Kamash molon, this is what the Torah wants to teach us in the second pasuk, that it's not so. And even with regard to this halach of the shir of achila for tumas beis abliya, it's still going to require the shir of Toch Kidei Achilas Pras. And basically we're saying that the standard and the requirement for generating Tumah is like equal to the standard and the minimum for violating the Isra Achila, which again, as a universal rule in Halach, is always going to be Kidei Achilas Pras. Based on this premise that you can derive from Achila for Tumah, we begin to understand that the din of Tzir of Kezias, when you started at point, let's say T1 to eat your Kezias, you only finished at T2, but with Mitzarif, all the Achilas in these manim, because they're all Kidei Achilas Pras, that's Halach, not only in Achila, but also as far as generating Tumas Achila. And if you take a look in Chulin, you address the case of someone who ate a chatzi zayis and then he regurgitated it and he went ahead and eat the same chatzi zayis, whether he's tomei or not. And the answer is that since in Isurim he'd be chayev in this case for hanos grono, so too in the Isur, in the tumos base of Leah, he would be metame. There's a kasha here that he brings down in the name of the stipler in the Kilus Yaakov. How is it possible that after he eats a chatzi zayis and he swallows it and it's no longer in the world, now he's going to eat the same chatzi zayis, kidei achilas pras, and he's going to be metame? There's no kizayis to be metame. We need a chefetz of a kizayis. And yet we're assuming that if he ate a chatzi zayis and he regurgitated, ate the same chatzi zayis second time, then just like an achilah be chai for such a thing, so too it's metame v'tumas beis habliya. But lamaisa, you only have a volume of a chatzi zayis. And the achronim seem to assume that maybe this logic is correct, says the stipler, and it's not metame until he joins together in the beis habliya shir of kizayis b'vasachas. Now, as far as Kiyum Mitzvahs is concerned, this is a gigantic issue, whether for matzah we also need a Kizayis Bichtei Achilas Pras and the Shir of Achilas Kizayis. Another issue is, as far as Brach Achron is concerned, let's say he's a Kizayis, but he stretches it out outside the frame of Kizayis Bichtei Achilas Pras, is he Chayev in a Brach Achrona? In any event, getting back to the Machlokas right now of Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, sort of like a little bit of an overview, they are arguing about the case of shchitas of treifa, whether or not that shchita is metayer midei tumas beis habliya or not. According to Rabbi Meir, we derive from the pasuk zos toras habehema vel of, that the din of an of is equivalent to the din of behema, and just like in behema, the shchita removes the tumas beis habliya. And that applies even if the animal is a trefa. So too, in the case of an oaf, by virtue of this equation, zos toras habehema va'oaf, the shechita is going to remove the tumas beis habliya, despite the fact that the oaf is a trefa. Rabbi Yehuda, on the other hand, says that the pasuk trefa, which is in the parasha of Nevelas of Tar, is going to teach me that in the case of an oaf that's trefa, the shechita would not be mafkia the tumah. And again, this machlokas really emanates from a different machlokas about the drashos that are derived from the psukim regarding tumas beis habliya. And Amir Tzachem will see that soon. Now, there are two psukim that deal with nevelas of tahar. In one of them it says, kol nefesh asher tochal nevela utrefa b'ezrach ubeger v'chibes b'godov rachatz b'mayim v'toyer ad ha'orev v'tomei ad ha'orev v'toyer. In the other pasuk it says, nevelu trefa lo yochal l'tama ba ani Hashem. The first pasuk is needed l'gufo. The second pasuk is superfluous and it comes for a drasha. And that's what we have now. Besides that, when it says trefa, it says trefa in two psukim, and those are superfluous, according to Rabbi Meir, from the fact that the Torah made a certain interdependence between Tumah b'Achila, between Tumah and Achila in two psukim. This teaches us two different dinim about Achila Hametames, the Shir Achila of Kizayis, and also the Zman, the Shir of Tolkide Achilas Pras. Is Memela the other pasuk, the second pasuk Trefa, is not superfluous, because we need it as well. And he says the following, that the Trefa is going to tell you that, number one, Shchitas Of Tar Bifnim, if it's Chulin Bazara, is not Metame Beis Ablia, the Shchita removes the Beis Ablia. And the second Trefa is going to teach you that in the case of Shchitas Of Tome, there will be Tumah B'Beis HaBliya. According to Rabbi Yehuda, the second pasuk is superfluous. It comes to teach us that Of Tome is not Metame B'Beis HaBliya. And Trefa that it says in two psukim is coming to teach us two dinim. Number one, that an Of Trefa Shenishchat is Metame B'Beis HaBliya, as we said before. And the second din is that Shchitas Of Libifnim, if you take Chulin Lazara and you shech the Of inside and it's Chulin, it's not Metame Beis HaBliya, and the Shchita removes that Tumah. So just to summarize Rabbi Yehuda's Shita, he's got these two psukim. One, in the Parsha Nevelas of Tar, that's in Vayikra Chav Beis. It says, Nevelu Trefa Lo Yochal Litamaba. So we're talking about Tumas Beis HaBliya in the case of Nevelas of Tar. And the other pasuk in Vayikra Yud Zayin, which we saw, also mentions Nevela and Trefa, Kol Nefesh Asher Tochal Nevelu Trefa. So we have two psukim with Trefa. The first pasuk is going to teach me that in the case of an oaf tar that was nitrefa, the shchita is not mitayr midei nevela. And the second pasuk is going to teach us that the shchita of an oaf tar, if it was chul and it was implemented inside the azara, is mitayr midei tumas nevela. So one is extending the din of tumah from nevelas of tar to a shchita of an of tar, the shchita of an of tar that was trefa, and that's also mitame beis habliya. And the second pasuk trefa is coming as a miut and allowing us to be mitayr the shchita of chulin bazara in the case of an of tar, and b'mafkia tumas beis habliya. Now the Gemara quotes a brisa that explicates the pasuk, which is mitayr chelev nevela from tumah. Tana Rabbanan v'chelev nevela utrefa. This is in Vayikra Zayin. V'chelev nevela v'chelev trefa yosel chomalach v'yochalo sochluhu. Bechelev behema tahora kosim medaber. This is coming to teach us that in the case of chelev, of a kosher animal, even though the basar itself would be mitame, but nevertheless the chelev is not mitame. And we're talking about a behema tahora, a kosher animal, but it became a nevela or a trefa. And the chelev itself is not metame. Ata omer. Now we can set up two different alternative interpretations, and then we have to decide which one we like. Ata omer that bechelev behema tahora kosa medaber. It's going to tell me that the chelev itself, even though the basar is metame, but the chelev is not metame. And that's why it says, Chelev Nevelu Trefa. Or the Gemara says an alternative, Eino Ela Bechelev Bei Metmea. Maybe the Torah is being Metayer the Chelev of Bei Metmea. And Lechor, the logic should be the following. Amarta Tiher, the Pasuk is being Metayer a Behema. She'ein Batumis Nevela Michlal Shchuta. In other words, in the case of a behema tahora, that if it was shechted properly, it's not metame, because the shechita is metar midei nevela, and therefore we can add that v'tier, the Torah is being metar a behema shemesa, if the animal dies, to tell you that it doesn't have tumas nevela is michlal chelev. In other words, the chelev is included in the nevel itself, in the carcass of the animal. And if the carcass of the animal is not metame, then certainly the nevela is not metame. The Braisa is vacillating, so to speak, back and forth as to whether this pasuk, bechelev behema tahora, kosum medavra, is referring to a behema tahora that died without shechita, or is it referring to a behema tmeah, and the nafkamina is going to be when is the Torah being mitara the chelev? So now the Braisa considers the so to speak the merits of both possibilities. On Marta, there's a compelling argument to assume that the Torah has declared something tar michlal shchuta, from the category of something that lends itself to shechita. And v'tir b'chlal nevela, the Torah is telling us that the tara relates to the chelev. In other words, the Torah is declaring that there are certain things that are tar because of the shechita. The shechita is metar midei nevela, the tuma beis ablia. And that would apply even to a trefa. And the Torah tells us that there's something that's tar because it's chelev. So in this pasuk, when the Torah declares something as tar, the chelev would otherwise apparently be metame betumas nevela, like the rest of the meat. But when it says here Amr Tir Michlal Shchuta V'Tir Michlal Chelev, basically the logic here is that there are two things that could be Mitayer Midei Tumas Beis Ablia. One thing is the Shchita itself. That's called in the Gemara's, in the language here, the Braisa, it's called Tier Michlal Shchuta, meaning as a result of the Shchita, and that applies even if you're talking about a Trefa. And then the Torah is saying that Tir Michlal Chelev, that something is tar because of its status as Chelev. And that's going to give us the ability to make a comparison between the two, between Shechita and Nevela, so to speak. And again, when the Torah declares something is tar because of its status as Chelev, it means that otherwise, if it would have been Basar, like the rest of the animal, then it would have been Mitame Tumas Nevela. So what's this equation here telling me between Shechita and Chelev? Ma Kishetir Michlal Shchuta Bitahora Velo Bitmea. Just like when the Torah says it's tar because of the Shechita, that's referring to kosher animals, what we call tahora here in this braisa, and the reason why we say so is because shechita in the case of a non-kosher animal is irrelevant, and it doesn't have the ability to prevent tumas nevela, It's not mitayr midei nevela. So the tumas nevela is chal in a non-kosher animal, even if it was shechted, and that's derived in Toras Kohanim from the pasuk kula eila to tamu kol anogeya bahem bimosam. And it says kol anogeya bahem bimosam, whoever touches them when they're dead. Again, it's a pasuk in Vayikra Yud Aleph. The word bahem in the pasuk kol anogeya bahem, which is superfluous, is coming to teach us that certain animals are metame, even if they were subject to shechita, and that's the non-kosher animals, which I mentioned in the previous pasuk. So again, getting back to the brisa says, mak shetir michlal shechuta, that the shechita is mafkia, the tumas nevela is metaya, that's only in a behema tahora, that's only with regard to a kosher species, is so too when we get to chelev. Af kshetir michlal chelev b'tahor v'lo b'tmeya. We're referring to a kosher species to the exclusion of a non-kosher species. So if you accept this logic at this point, again we're going to see another logic in just a second, then we come to the conclusion that the pasuk that tells us that chelev is tar is referring to the chelev of a kosher animal. Oh, klach lederech zu. Or perhaps let's take a different line of reasoning. Tier mechlal nevela v'tier mechlal chelev. We have a tara under the category of a nevela, and again, the Gemara later on is going to understand that the Torah says that the nevela of a non-kosher species is tar, as far as tumas beis habli is concerned. Now, the Torah also says here, tir mechlal chelev is maksha tir mechlal nevela is bitmeo velo bitahora. In the case of the nevela of a non-kosher bird, that we said it's not mitame, whereas that of a kosher bird, the nevela of a kosher bird, is mitame bitumas beis ablia, is af kshetir mechlal chelev bitmeo velo bitahora. So we're going to assume now that the tara of the chelev refers to a behemoth mea. Not the case of a kosher animal, but the case of a species that's not kosher. And that is the line of reasoning that supports the Bryce's alternative proposal, namely that the pasuk which declares chelev to be tahora, to be tar, is referring dafka to the chelev of a non-kosher species of animal. Amarta. And now we're going to turn to Daf Ayin Amud Beis. Kishabba b'derech zu hi tahora, kishabba b'derech zu hi tmeya. If we go with one particular line of reasoning, the logic that we presented, then we're talking about a kosher species of animals. If we go with the second line of reasoning, then the Torah is talking about a non-kosher species of animals. So when the pasuk is excluding chelev from tumah, what is it referring to? So the logic leads us to no conclusion whatsoever. Talmud Lomar, in other words, to resolve this confusion, the Torah says trefa. And what is trefa telling me? Mishi yesh b'mina trefa, we must be referring to a kosher species of an animal where there's a relevancy of trefa, as opposed to a non-kosher species of animal where there's no relevancy of trefa. And this already we discussed back on Daf Samachtes Amid Beis, and we came to the conclusion that when the Torah tells us to make sure that the animal that he eats is not a trefa, which is in Vayikra Yud Aleph, it's obviously referring to a kosher species. There it makes a difference when the animal is a trefa or not. A non-kosher species is forbidden no matter whether it's a trefa or not a trefa. Now the Braisa continues And it says, Otzi es hatmeya she'ein v'mina treifa. Based on the drasha that we had until now, we're going to exclude a non-kosher species of animals. And we're going to say there the chelev is tamei. However, lo otzi es achaya. Why she'esh b'mina treifa? So I'm not going to exclude a chaya, which fits the description of yesh b'mina treifa, because a chaya is subject to shchita, to heta shchita, but if it dies as a treifa, then shchita is not matir. So that issue of treifa is very relevant to the case of a chaya as it is to the case of behema. And therefore, I would assume that just like the chelev of behema is not metame, so too the chelev of a chaya is not metame. Tamid lomar v'ochol lo sochluhu. The end of the pasuk says, "You should surely not eat it," and that's going to teach us that this whole pasuk to be metayer chelev is only misha chelbo asur ubisara mutar. That chelev is a category. There's a chalushem chelev as opposed to the rest of the basar. So, for example, after shchita, in the case of a kosher behema, you can be matir the basar, but you can't be matir the chelev. That's only relevant to a behema. It's not relevant to a chaya. Is yotza chay shechel b'basar mut? There's no difference between the chelev and the basar. They're both mutter after shchita. It's a pasuk that asks chelev in Vayikra Perek Zion indicates clearly that this Isur of chelev is limited to what we call behemos, whether it's cows, sheep, or goats, because it's subject to hakrav al gabi mizbeach. It doesn't apply to the chelev of chaya, because they cannot be brought on the mizbeach. And therefore the chelev is mutar b'achila. Okay, so in such a case, we can say the following, that according to the last drush of this brisa, the chelev of a kosher, a chaya, if the animal becomes the vela, it is mitami bebeis habliya, just like its basar. And this is going to exclude a non-kosher behema as well, because that doesn't fit the description of an isa chelev. We need something that's osur, because the chelev is different than the meat, and that's not true in a non-kosher animal. The chelev is not more osur than the basar itself. So the word treifa, which is in the beginning of the brisa and is used to exclude non-kosher animals, is now no longer needed. It's again a superfluous word that comes to teach us that the treifa isur, which takes place on top of chelev, on isur chelev, as we saw in Rabbi Yehuda Daf, on Daf Ayin Amud Aleph, bottom line here is that the chelev of a chaya is going to be metame. Now let's go back to one detail in the brisa. Omale Rav Yaakov bar Abba lirava. Just to repeat, if the animal dies, if it's a behema, then the basar is metame, but the chelev is not metame. If, on the other hand, we're talking about a chaya that died, then the chelev is tame, and it's not like the chelev of behema, which is tar. Again, all this is in kosher animals, or kosher beasts, if you want to call it that. Now we have a statement of Rabbi Yaakov bar Av, when he's talking to Rava. Rava's going to reject this, that since it says in the Braisa that chelev, in the case of a nevela, is tar, and we're taking it out of the category of nevela, so that's in the case of a non-kosher species, but not in the case of a kosher species. So then we'd have to say, says Rav Yaakov, Nevelas Behema Torah hu demitame, Nevelas Behema Tmeya lo mitame. And this we know is not true. So Rav Yaakov Bar Abba thinks that according to the Braisa, that's referring to behemos, and it means that the nevela of a behema tahora is metame tumas nevela, then the nevela of a non-kosher animal, of a behema tmeya, is not metame tumas nevela. And the Gemara in Chulin actually proves on daf ayin that the nevela of both a kosher animal and a non-kosher species of animal transmits tumas nevela. So again, the logic of Rav Yaakov is to exclude a non-kosher animal based on the Braisa's logic, that the Braisa goes ahead and says that when the Torah says something is tar, it's not metame tumas nevela, that's only behema tahora, which is yesh b'mina treifa, as opposed to a tmeya behema tmeya non-kosher animal, which is ein b'mina treifa. So we apply that logic to the din of tumas beis ablia. Therefore, we would say that the tumas beis ablia that's engendered by an avela in the case of behema is only in a behema that's kosher. That's called yesh b'mina treifa, but in the case of a non-kosher species, which is not yesh b'mina treifa, then its nevela should not generate a tumas beis ablia. And the question is, how could that be possible in light of the Gemara in Chulin that establishes the nevela of both a kosher species and a non-kosher species is metame b'tumas beis ablia? So Rava answers, Omar le kama savi shibushta she beishtu ba. In other words, he's like surprised that elders, meaning sabe, meaning talmidei chacham like you, have made a mistake about this. And the answer to your question is seifa son l'nevelas of tame. And this is a whole new curveball that Rav is adding into the braisa here. And he's saying that the Seifa that says such a thing that you built your argument on is Asan, is coming to teach you about an Avelis of Tomei. Not like the Reisha that's talking about being Metara, something Bechlal Shkuta in the case of a Behema. And here we're talking about, I'm sorry, what I meant to say is that it's not like the Reisha that is mitar something because it's shchuta, implying that it was an avela b'metame. That's all a discussion addressing behema. But the Seifa, which is going to be mitar, is talking about an oaf tame, that an oaf tame, even when it becomes an avela, it's tar midei tumas beis ablia. And in the case of an of tar, it's metame b'tumas beis ablia. So if the of tami dies without shechita, then it's not metame beis ablia. And in that sense, you're right that there's something in a non-kosher animal that's being excluded from tumah, but that's the case of an of. In the case of an of tar, for example, if it dies, then it's metame b'beis ablia. So basically what we're saying is the following, that the mistake, according to Rava's accusation, that Rav Yaakov made in interpreting the Braisa, was that when the Braisa says that the Torah was metayer, the nevela of a non-kosher animal, you thought it was an animal, but not of a kosher animal. And again, you thought this was all referring to a behemah. No, the reference here is to ofos. In ofos, we have a special din that the nevela, although if it's a kosher animal, is metami tumus beis ablia, but the nevela of a non-kosher animal, a non-kosher bird, excuse me, of an of, is not metami. That was the gemara that we had on Samach Tes Amid Beis. Okay, now at this point, the gemara is going to go back to the Mishnah regarding Malika in an of trefa, and Rabbi Meir was of the opinion that the Malika is metar midei tuma of Beis Ablia, even though the oaf is a trefa. Now the Gemara is going to present the machlokas, how far Rabbi Meir would go with this. Rabbi Yochanan is going to take the opinion on Rabbi Yochanan Lotia, Rabbi Meir, Ella Bitmimim. When Rabbi Meir is willing to recognize and validate the Malika, even though we're talking about an oaf that's a trefa, and therefore the Malika is enough to be Matayr Midei Tumas Beis Abliya, that's only with regard, says Rabbi Yochanan, to Tmimim Aval Bivali Tmumin Lo, if the oaf is a Balmum. And here we have a note in the name of the Ruke Chaim that we're talking about Mechusar Ever. That was a Gemara back on Samach Ches Amid Beis. Although the word Tmim is a little difficult, because in the case of Ofos, the din is that even a Balmum is kosher. It's only Mechusar Ever that's possible. So we're going to have to take this Gemara a little bit liberally and assume that Balimum is a reference to Mechusar Ever. Is lo, says Rabbi Yochanan, in such a case of an oaf that's Mechusar Ever, the Malika would not be meaningful to be Mitayr Midei Tumas Beis Ablia. And the reason for this is because Rabbi Meir, according to Rabbi Yochanan, is willing to apply the principle of Ola Lo Yered in the case of a Trefa, so the Malika is Mata the Isur, meaning it's Mata the Tuma, or Mitayr Midei Tuma. And just like the Malika is Matir, the Isra Akrov, etc., by establishing the principle of Emola Lo Yered, so that's okay as far as the Treif is concerned. But in the case of Balmum, the halacha would be Emolu Yardu. And therefore, the Malika would not be Mitairit, because the halacha is that when we're talking about a balmum, it's so extremely excluded from malika to be a carbon kosher al gabi mizbeach as an oaf, then there's no way, no how, that the malika could be Matar Midei Nevela. That's the Shita Rabbi Yochanan, as explained here in the name of Rabbi Avram Yoshua Soloveitchik. But Rabbi Lezer Omar, Afilu Bibale Mumin, even in the case of an oaf that's Mechusar Ever, it's a Balmum, Rabbi Meir would go so far as to say that the Malika is Metayer Midei Tumas Beis Avliya. Itmar Nami, we have a machlokus of this sort that's quoted explicitly in the Beis Medrash. It says, Omar Abibi, Omar Abilazar, Metayer Hoy Rabbi Meir Bibale Mumin, after Malika, Afilu ba'avozim v'sarnagolim. Even if the malika is done to birds which cannot be brought on the mizbeach, like geese and chickens, they're not fit. These are not minim that are fit for the mizbeach at all. And even though an oaf that's trefa is not fit for the mizbeach, but the Torah says that Malika, according to Rabbi Meir, can be Metayret Midei Tumas Nevela. But the answer is that Malika could be Metayer Midei Tumas Nevela in the understanding of Rabbi Lazar and Rabbi Meir, even in the case of an avaz or a tarnagol, a goose or a chicken, which is not Roy L'Mizbeach, and therefore we'll go one step further and apply this din of Malika Metaheres to an oaf that's a Balmum. And in the pasuk itself that talks about the nevela of an oaf, the Torah says nevela and trefa, and that could itself teach us that a trefa, which creates an isur in all oafos, is the status of a nevela is only if the animal dies, and that renders all ofos as osur. But that's all in the case of nevela. But in the case of malika, that doesn't render a carbona of as being osur, and that's true even if the bird was a trefa, as we saw in the brisa regarding Rabbi Meir. So the malika that's done to a kosher species of birds is by definition mitar midei tuma. And he has in the footnote here a machlokes if Rabbi Meir would be mitar through malika only in kodshim or even in chulin, meaning the status of avozim and tarnagolim could be the status of chulin. There was no akdosha. And here there's a Rashi of Ksaviyad that's quoted here, that malikas chulin mitaheres l'Rabbi Meir. The Shidim Kubetzis also supports that view. And there's a long discussion in the Shita about how Rabbi Meir derives this conclusion. However, in the Pirush Rashi as we have it, not in the manuscript, is lo hitir malikas only Metayer midei nevela only in kodshim, where the malika was done bifnim, and even when it says here malikas avozim etarnegolim is metayer midei tumas nevela, that's only in the case of kodshim. Even though again these are birds that are not roi l'mizbeach, I wonder what the status of kodshim here would be. And he quotes here a binyan av that just like trefa is not ruya lakrova, and yet the malika is mitired, so too all ofos that are not roya lakrova, like for example avozim and tarnagolim or bali mumin, is the malika is meaningful to be motzimi day tumas beis ablia. So that's what we have here in the name of Rabbi Lazar in Rabbi Meir. Now, based on this understanding of Rabbi Meir, the Gemara quotes a suffek of Rabbi Yirmiyah. Rabbi Yirmiyah is always famous in Shas for his sfeikas. And this introduces a whole nother curveball into the sugya. We're talking about Egla Rufa. Rufa, the Arifa of classically a calf, C-A-L-F, which is an Egel, and that's called the Egla Rufa, is by Rabbi Yirmiyah. We know that the Arifas HaEgel, right, they find a dead body between two cities, and they measure which city is more proximate, and then they take an Egel and they bring it down to a Nachal, Nachaleson it's called, and they do an Arifa. An Arifa comes from the back, from the neck, with a knife. And that's Metayer Tumas Nevela. Now, if the Arifa of an Egel is Metayer Tumas Nevela, what about an Aes? What about a goat? To some extent, a goat is like an Egel. I mean, it all belongs to the family of behemoths, but on the other hand, maybe a goat is a different kind of a behemoth, as we'll soon see. So Rabbi Yirmiyah's suffix was Araf Eiz Mahu. Does the Arifa of an Eiz
Now keep in mind, the Ace is not a candidate for the Arifa of the Nachal Eson. I mean, it's a classical case of Egla Rufa. That has to be an Egla, not an Ace. But nevertheless, you know, we saw that Malika, according to Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Lezer's frame of reference, Rabbi Lezer's frame of reference is that it could be Matai Midein Avela. What about Arifa in the case of an Ace? Maybe that's not any different than Malika in the cases of Avazim and Tarnagolas. So the suffix here is that once we understand, according to Rabbi Lazar, the Rabbi Meir's Mitayer Malikas Avazim and Tahorim, because we find Malika works in Ophos, is so too, perhaps he would be Mitayer, Rabbi Meir, in the case of Arifa, we can extend it from the Egel, which the Torah is talking about in the parish of Egel Arufa, to Ais. Because we find that Arifa's Egla is Matayer, the Arifa is Matayer, so too the Arifa of an Ais should be Matayer. And here's the way that we can equate an Ais with an Egla in the case of Arifa, that just like in Malika, Vasa Vitana Golim, Malika, according to Rabbi Lazar, is in Rabbi Meir, is Matayer. Again, in the classical case of an oaf that's royal mizbeach and lends itself to Malika, that's the case of Torim b'nei Yonah. But now we're extending the din of Malika Mitaheris to Avazim Mitana Golem Taima Mai. Dimina di Ophos Ninu, even though it's not royal mizbeach, but nevertheless it's called an oaf. And we're going to extend the din of Malika as a Mitaher to all Ophos. Anything that's called a min oaf, it's a species of a bird. And once we find that, meaning we're extending from Malika Metaheris in Torim B'nei Yonah to Malika Metaheris in an O's, in Avazim and Tarnagolas, sorry, then can we apply that kind of a structure to an A's? Maybe it's different. Why? Because the Torah says you need an Egla, you need an Egel for Egla Arufa, for the Arifa. But A's, that's already fundamentally different. It's not called Mina de Egla. It's not like Avazim and Tarnagolim is called Min Of, and it's similar to B'nai Yonah or Torim. Here, in the case of A's, it's already Lav Mina de Egel. It's not the Min of an Egel. Why? Because we can take all behemoths and we can break them down into two basic categories. One's called the Behema Gasa, the other is called the Behema Daka. Like if you learn Masechta Kiddushin and you want to talk about Kinyonim, so this is a fundamental distinction. So we can't derive one from the other. So the Chisaron here, in the case of A's, is because it's not a Min Egla. A's is a Behema Gasa, whereas Egel is called a Behema Daka. Now, let's say, for example, you had an Egel that was possible for Egla Rufa because it was Olalel. It's been worked in the past. So if the Min itself is a Min Egel, then the Arifa would be Tayyip Midei Nevela, even though it's not Roy to be part of the Parsha of Egla Rufa. Again, you might ask, well, what Kedusha of Egla Rufa should be Chal on an Egla that is a Balas Mum? That's a Pella. In any event, Dilma, what's the second side? To say that maybe Aes is included in Arifa, to be Matar Midei Nevela, Mina to Behema. Even though it's a Behema Gasa, but nevertheless it's included in Min Behema. And we shouldn't be Mechalik between Gasos and Dakos. Is now you want to know the din of Taras Egla Rufa itself. You know, we're all assuming that the Arifa of an Egel is Matayer, Midein Avela, Midein Tuma. How do we know such a thing? Yosef Rabbi Dimi Vekamer Lo La Shmaitita. He presented the suffix of Rabbi Yirmiya. Omale Abaye, Sabai turns to Rabbi Dimi and he says, Michlal, I understand from your suffix, the Egla Rufa Tahorehi. That in the case of an Egla, the Arifa itself is Matayer, even though it wasn't Shechted. It's called a Nevela technically, but you're saying it's not Mitami Tumas Nevela because of the Arifa. Now, again, the Gemara is clear that an Egla Arufa since there's no shechita, it's just a maisa arufa, arifa, then it becomes nevela as far as the isachil is concerned. But nevertheless, it doesn't have tumas nevela. And the stifler wants to know what's the difference. Why, as far as achil, it's nevela, as far as tum, it's not nevela. And he says that tumas nevela is dependent upon the death of the animal. That's what engenders the status of the animal as nevela, as far as an iser achilus nevela, as the Torah says, Vayikra Yud Aleph, v'chi yamus min abehema. So the misa has to be done in a method that's a kium of the din itself, of egla arufa through arifa. And that kium, I'm sorry, what I meant to say was the following, that to be mate the Isra Achilas Nevela, you would have to have a Shechita. Only a Shechita is the flip side, is different than Misa. So you could have a conscience between Shechita and Misa, as far as the Isra Nevela is concerned. But all types of Misa, including Arifa, are included in the Vichiyomis Min Behema, and the Torah says that there's an Isra Achilas Nevela. But if you're talking about the Isra Tumah of Nevela, that's a whole different story. That has to do with Vizavachta, that Arifa, even though it's not Zvicha, but nevertheless it's Kasha Tzivisicha. The Torah says in Dvarim Yud Beis, Vizavachta Kasha Tzivisicha. Anything that's called Kasha Tzivisicha is a substitute and a replacement for Zvicha. So the Arifa is a substitute for Zvicha, and therefore it removes the Isur Tumah. So it's Nevela because it died without Shechita, but it's still not Metame because the Arifa, as far as the Kasher Tzivisicha, the Kiyum of Arifa is a substitute for Zvicha, at least as far as being Metayat Midei Tumas Nevela. Amalei, so Rav Dimi turns to Abaye and he says, "In, you're right. I agree with you that an egla rufa is tahora. And the reason for this," he says, "Amri, is, I'm sorry, Amri debay Rav Yanai, based on a statement of Rav Yanai, kaparek sivbe. In Parshas egla rufa, in Dvarim Chafal, the pasuk says, kaper liamcha Yisrael asher padisa Hashem." And that concept of kapara creates an equation between egla ruf and kodshim. Kodshim are also mechaprim. And just like in kodshim, there's no tumah, so too the arifa is the maisa that's machshir, just like shechita or malika in the case of ofus is machshir in kodshim, and it's motzimidei tumas nevela. And that concept or word called kapara is going to be the key to set up arifa as a mitayer. The Gemara now wants to analyze the words of Rav Dimi that egla rufa is tahora. Masiv Rav Nosan Avud Rav Huna. We learned in the Braisa, which is going to be a stira. The Braisa says, based on Vayikra, Zayin v'chelev nevela v'chelev trefa ye'osa l'chol melacha v'yachol lo sochlu. Meaning that chelev of behema tahora, if it dies without shechita, doesn't have tumas nevela. Ein li ela chelev she'osa b'achila u'muta b'ana. It should only apply to chelev because the Torah says v'yachol lo sochlu, which is an Isra Achilo Mutar Ba'ano, but the Torah says in the same Pasuk, Ye'ose L'chol Malacha, to be Matir Hano, however, Chelev Shel Shar Niskal, in other words, after the animal killed the human being and it was judged in a Bezdin, and after the verdict was handed down, the Shar has the din of Shar Niskal to Asar Ba'ano, or Egla Rufa, which is also Asar Ba'ano. So therefore, the chelev of these two cases of a shar niskal and egla ruf are not similar to the chelev that the Torah spoke about, meaning the chelev, it's mutar vano, because the Torah says, ye osel chol malacha, is minayin, how do we know that even in the cases of Shar Niskal and Egla Rufa, the chelev is going to be tar? Talmud Lomer, the pasuk says, right before our pasuk, it says, kol chelev, shar v'keves v'ez lo sol chelu. And the word kol is coming as a ribui to teach us that even in chelev of Isuri Ano, it's not mitame. In other words, even in these cases of Shar Niskal and Egla Rufa, the Torah is telling us in this pasuk, the pasuk right after this, that the chelev is not mitame. The Torah is mitayer tumas nevel in regard to this chelev. If you're going to entertain the possibility that Egla Rufa Tahorehi, meaning that there's no tumas nevela in the case of an Egla Rufa, and when the Torah and the Torah needed to tell me and teach me with regard to the chelev that the chelev itself is tar, is then he tar of a chelba tame? It must be that the Egla Rufa has tumas nevela, and that's why the Torah had to be mitar the chelev. If the Egla Rufa itself was tame, then for sure, I'm sorry, if the Egla Rufa itself was tar midei nevela, then there's no reason why the Torah would have to be mitar the chelev. The chelev is no different than the basar. So therefore, logically, and this is the kasha that Reb Nosson is raising on our previous sugya, on the previous analysis, that Egla Rufa is tar, you see clearly that Egla Rufa is tame, the Torah went out of its way to be metayer the chelev. And the Gemara answers, no. Hecha di oraf mi oraf lo itzrichle. When there was an arifa, the Egla, that I don't need to tell me in the pasuk that's metayer the chelev, because the animal itself is tahar, and certainly therefore the chelev is tahar. Ki itzrich hecha deshachte mishchat. We need a pasuk for the case where he shechted an egla roof. Again, what makes into an egla roof? That we'll have to figure out as the Gemara develops it soon. But in any event, let's assume it has the status of an egla roof, and instead of doing arifa, he did shechita. In such a case, it's not mitar midei nevela. Why? Because the Torah requires arifa rather than shechita. And the Torah wants to tell me that in such a case, where he shechted an egla rufa, the chelev is tar. Even though she herself is tmeya. If he shechted an egla rufa, and we'll see again in a second when it becomes an egla rufa, the shechita is not valid. It cannot substitute for an arifa. Similar to what we discussed in an oaf of kodshim, you know, where the shechita of an oaf kodshim would not replace malika. In any event, in the case of egla rufa, now that he violated the entire requirement, the entire procedure by shechting it, the meat of this egla would convey tumas nevela. And in fact, the meat of this geshachtena egla rufa cannot be eaten, and it's also banor as well. And it conveys tumas nevela. So the shechita is meaningless as far as being mitar midei nevela. But the chelev itself, the Torah wants to say, is tar. And that's how the Gemara answers the kasha of Rabbi Nosson. Now the Gemara is not necessarily so happy about it. The Gemara asks the following question. Okay, even though you're not mitar midei nevela, afsha ein litara midei nevela mishum arifa, in this case of shechita, you cannot be mitar midei nevela because it's missing arifa. Is vitahani le shechita le tar midei nevela? In other words, At what point, you're telling me it's an Egla Rufa, and therefore the Torah requires Arifa, not Shechita. But wait a second. What about Shechita per se? We know that Shechita per se has a power to be Metar Midei Nevela. In other words, any behemoth tahora that was shechted is tar midei nevela. We never found that you shecht a behemoth tahora and it has tumas nevela. And now we're talking about a behemoth tahora. Then certainly the chelev should be tar. So basically, when the Gemara says tahani lei Litara Midei Nevela, what the Gemara is saying is here, let's make a distinction between Achila and Hana and so forth, as opposed to Tara and Tuma. Meaning, if in this case he shechted an Egla Rufa, okay, I'll admit to you that the Shechita cannot be Matir, the Basar Bachila or Bahana. But you have to admit that the Shechita should certainly be Metar Midei Nevela, because we never found any sort of precedent in a Behemoth Tahora that the Shechita ends up with Tumas Nevela. They're mutually exclusive. Shechita and a Behemoth Tahora and Tumas Nevela are mutually exclusive. So therefore, if this is Tahora, then the entire Basar is Tahor. Why? Because this was a Behemoth Tahora that was subjected to Shechita. And therefore, we don't need a pasuk to be mitar the chelev if the entire basar is tar. And the Gemara answers, lo tzricha shemesa. When we say that the Torah had to be mitar the chelev in Egla Ruf, it's talking about a case of mesa, meaning there was never neither an arifa nor a shechita. And therefore, there was nothing to be mitar midei nevela, and therefore we needed the pasuk to be mitar the chelev. Even though, again, it would be also b'ana, insofar as it's an Egla Rufa. And now the Gemara Attack addresses our question, at what point does it become an Egla Rufa? If you're talking about an animal that dies, and you're saying to me that it's also b'ana insofar as it's an Egla Rufa, at what point did it become an Egla Rufa? To say that it became an Egla Rufa when it dies, that doesn't make any sense. No, you need a pasuk to teach you that the chelev is tar. Obviously, you're telling me that the basar is tamei, and why? Because the shechita is not meaningful. Why? Because it's an egla rufa. At what point did it become an egla rufa? So the Gemara answers, michlal demichayim asura. You're telling me that it's not the Arifa that generates the Isur Hanor. Even when it was alive, the Egla was also Hanor. Because again, if you were to argue that the Arifa generates the Isur, then here that there was no Arifa, it should be Mutar Hanor. Apparently you're saying there's an Isur Hanor that predates the Arifa. And that's called Michayim in the Lashon of the Gemara. So how do you call it an Egla Rufa if there was no Arifa and it's still alive and well? Is there some sort of Hakdosha that it generates a Kedushas Egla Rufa even though it's still alive, even before the Arifa? Amar Rav Yanai, Gvul Shamati V'Shachachti V'Nazbin Chavraya L'Meimar Yiridasa L'Nachal Eson Hiosarta. He says, I heard about a certain time period, at what point Michayim, the Egel, becomes Osir B'Toras Egla Rufa with an Isur Noah, but Shachachti, I didn't remember what I heard. So I had a transmission that I received, but I can't remember. So Nosvin Chavray LeMeimar, the Talmidim wanted to suggest the following. Yiridasa lenachal eson hi osarta. What generates the Isur, the Shem Egla Rufa as an Isur Anah, is the Yirida to the Nachal Eson.
and that's Michayim.
So again, what we're saying is that at some point, even before the Arifa, there's already an Iser Hana, even though the animal is alive and well. And that has to be so, because the Bryce is talking about Chelev of an Egla Arufa, which is Aser for, you know, Aser Banah for any benefit. And we just assumed that this is a reference to an Egla that was designated as an Egla Arufa, and it died before the procedure was done, and it was Mesa without neither Shkita nor Arifa. So why is it Aser Banah? And not only that, you're telling me that the Basar is Mitami Betumas Beis Ablia, and now you want to be Mitaya the Chelev. Well, what procedure could have taken place while the animal was alive to generate this Iser Hana? And the Gemara's answer is Yiridasa L'Nachal Eson. Hadron Alecha Chata Sa'of. And Emir Tz Hashem, B'li Neder, the next year, will start the 8th Perek Kol HaZvachim.